As we take out our document, everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Then let's move to the section on bottom of page 46. Everybody repeat after me. Is God regulated in time? Or does his essence usurp beyond it? Now, Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. I want you to turn two places, two very familiar chapters, but not familiar, two familiar verses, I should say, but not familiar from the standpoint of comprehension and understanding. I want to bring in these ingressions, and I was really inspired in the Sunday Bible study this morning, Sunday school. We were dealing with that section, and it becomes more and more clear that we must separate and adequately define the distinction of actualization in the eternal sphere from manifestation in time. Many things you're not going to understand in the scriptures. The many things have been misunderstood, misinterpreted and misconstrued. Therefore, we mismanage the conveyances of the scriptures as they relate to us. Many things that are for us, we have not taken advantage of them. In fact, many things that are for us are mistakenly viewed as maybe encounters and confrontations against us. When everything that's in here, that when I say in the scriptures, I'm speaking more specifically concerning the grace covenant writings, that which is in the mystery writings, the volume of truth that God revealed to Paul, known as the grace covenant. When you look into the grace covenant, it's really your contract. Yes, sir. And when you look into the contract, your contract, when a person has a contract, there's the inference, there is the expectations that that contract has advantages for you. Many we do not construe as advantage because we misinterpret what it is really conveying. This morning we were looking at the essence of the law and that we are under grace. And you must place the essence of what that is really conveying to us. The law has to do with time and the loops in time that are geared for manifestation. Grace is throughout all ages. Amen. And when the scriptures speak of the grace of God, it's ultimately speaking of our glorified Son position, placement in the body of Christ. That's where you are now, in eternality. Yes. Time hasn't gone anywhere. So as we look at this section this morning, Where is God in time? Someone once asked me, where is God in the universe? I said, wait, hold it. Let's turn that question around. Amen. If you're going to ask where is something, let's ask where is the universe in God? Amen. God is not in the universe. The universe is in God. God is bigger, y'all don't hear me, in the universe. Amen. He can't abide in that which he has created. And that which he has created is in him. In him. In Colossians chapter 1, what's that, verse 16? Amen. That Greek word is in. Epsilon ni, in. And I know some of the translations, most notably the King James, said all things were created by him, but it is in him. It exists in him. In fact, everything that exists has to exist in him. It's no by, it's in. Amen. And so, we must understand that our eternal place is the sphere of which we are presently existing. It is not presently manifested to us, but the manifestation of a thing does not locate its abiding sphere. Many things that have not manifested to us, amen. Manifestation is not the actualization. Many things that are actualized and existing that have never been manifested.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
So we take the time and we have and we shall continue. Amen. We are just into part two. And I say this for those that may be listening. I will for the next 2 weeks, and I probably won't get through part two, and not, we'll pick it up in the fall. The ministry is going to continue. Amen. But you'll be getting the same thing. the essence of us being able to properly appropriate things in time is to first realize that time itself is a creation. Once we understand that, then we can comprehend also that the occurrences of things that are happening in time are also God's creation, his plan, his purpose, his will. It's all working according to that which God has in eternity actualized by his decree. And so in the time capsule, all we get is manifestation. Nothing actually abides in time. Everything that is being exhibited is there for the purpose of testimony. Amen. And so when we bring this ingression in, it should become apparent that time is a creation and that God is not regulated in it. Amen. And nor is he subject to it or held captive in it. We are, but God's not. Amen. This is a certain day and a certain month at a certain hour within a certain moment. We're captured in it. We can't go back. Amen. Neither can we project forward. Amen. But do not assess that to God. Amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And if we have time, we'll go to Ephesians 5. In fact, you know what? Let's do it the opposite way. Let's go to Ephesians chapter. I'm sort of a little prejudiced. Ephesians is, I would say, one of my most favorite portions in Paul's writings. Amen. Because it starts out in the eternal sphere. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Everyone, let's turn there and then we'll go to Galatians. I think we'll have time. In fact, I started a little early this morning, didn't I? All right. Y'all remember that now. Oh, my God. Amen. It takes time. It takes time to go through. If you're going to do this right, you have to start out as I am instructed the ministry, and you shall see it when they are ministering, that you call your text, and then you explicate, you exegete your text. Exegete what's there. That means you interpret it through the threefold methodology of scrutiny. And that is, we look at it grammatically, historically, and contextually, yes, to first see what it is actually saying.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say that the Bible said a lot of things. No, 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 no. What we want to know is what the Bible teach, rightly divided.
Right.
Amen. And then to explicate what's there.
Right.
Amen. The scriptures do not need our help.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to just tell what's there. First of all, rightfully dig out the conveyance.
Right.
And then rightfully explicate or explain what is actually conveyed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get through with that, you know, you're through. You know, if you're going to be a true minister. Amen. Now, in verse, oh, look, let's see. Hey, my God, no matter how long I, how early I start, it's all still a problem, isn't it? Oh, my God. In this chapter, we just focus here on verse 9, but just I'm going to go back and just kind of run through the verses here as we contextualize it. Paul starts out basically appealing to them to basically be imitators of God, that is, from the standpoint of identifying with who you are in Him. And here he uses the Greek word techna. In fact, it's techna agapita, which is translated children beloved. Amen. We're beloved.
Yes,
we always were beloved.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with us, does it? No. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Don't you? Don't get the big head.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is something that happened before we got here. Amen. We were loved. Now, you all don't hear me. We were loved before we got here.
Amen.
Woo.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, walk in it. In verse 2, God has loved us, gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. And we know this is all in eternality.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 3, he switches to testimony and exhibition of conduct in time. And he speaks of many things, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And basically, in that third verse there, amen, speaks of greediness, and basically he is saying it should not be named. Here we have what we call I am imperative, but it is an imperative aorist. Amen. Basically saying such has not been assigned to you. And of course, a lot of things we are manifesting and doing have not been assigned to us as dear children of God. That's not who you really are. This is what he's what he's saying. Some have used this verse and in Galatians to say that your conduct can send you to hell. Well, my God, who y'all don't hear me this morning? And most of the time they're hitting on a few things, and when people started talking about sins and what we should do and how we should do it, so forth and so on. Every time that Paul rattles off a litany of sin, when he gets through, there's nobody left. There's no way you survive this, you know. Yeah, he talks about fornication. He said, well, I get by that, and covetousness and filthiness. And he said, foolish talking and gesturing and gossiping. I mean, he comes on down the line, You know, yeah, he talks about the whoremongers and the unclean persons and idolaters and then in verse 5, when he says such have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, he is not talking about you down here. You escape the scrutiny of all of this, and that's how you inherit the kingdom of God. That's not what he's saying. He said, who you are in Christ, none of these things are part of it. That's what he's saying. And so the thing that you're going to identify with is not who you are in the flesh. Amen. But who you are in Christ. And further down, this beginning to verse 9, that is brought out. But in order to understand this, what Paul is saying about what the scripture here basically is conveying about conduct, it is in the time capsule. Versus the attributes are those things that we shall read in verse 9, speaking of that are the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It is talking about who you are in the spirit realm. It's not saying that if I show love, I'm going to heaven, and you know, if I show kindness, and so I'm doing this. No, that's identification. You see, we get identification and maturation mixed up with sanctification. Sanctification is who you are in the body of Christ. Sanctification has to do with position. In eternality. Now, you can, as you learn, and the Holy Spirit causes you to identify with your glorified position, which is maturation, you are in time identifying with who you are in eternity.
Come on.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. Because all the time we don't. Daily we mess up, don't we? Well, no, I don't do this and that and so. And this is why it is so hard for us to admit when we're wrong, because we don't want to be condemned. Well, admit when you're wrong, because you're not condemned. You can't. To those in Christ Jesus, amen. So when you're wrong, you're just wrong. And hey, man, the blood of Jesus is taking care of it. Let's move on. Amen, and identify with who we are. So that's what this is saying. And we have to stop to take time, amen, to properly appropriate what the scriptures are conveying.
Yes.
Amen. Otherwise, we're into do's and don'ts, and we're into the law, and we're into lying. You know, because, amen, John corroborated that thing and say, if you say you have no sin, you're a big liar. Amen. But the essence is we must see time for what it is and see the purpose of time. Now, and so verse 6 said, don't be deceived. You see, understanding is the greatest thing that you can have. Understanding. And here he uses the term in verse 6, kernis logis, which is empty of vain words. You see, when you're saying something and it doesn't pan out with the scripture, that's what it is. It's just empty. It's just some words. And much of that has been indoctrinated into the denominational jargon and dogma, and it really doesn't mean anything. And after a while, after everybody tries it and people try it and fail, after a while it's just something you say. Amen. Instead of something that actually has some meaning and teeth to it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, these things that are conveyed as that which is the wrath of God, the essence of those things that are associated with the flesh and time. Mm-hmm. And of course, God has not saved our bodies, our flesh, amen. The flesh, according to our gospel, is already destroyed. So when, since this, if indeed this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, already destroyed, amen. And so this is what he is saying in relationship to us, but in relationship to them who are associated with these things, who are not his, amen, these are the children of disobedience. Whether we are his or not his, not depend upon our conduct. And here we must always say, conduct is so very important. We have to stop and say that, because somebody's going to say, well, you're trying to give somebody a license to sin, to do wrong, and so forth and so on. And of course, you don't need to be educated. That's one thing the flesh does not need. It doesn't need lessons in being depraved. Amen. Doesn't need an encouragement. Nor does it need any directions or directives. Amen. Like a little child coming in, he doesn't get any type of supervision and any type of instructions. Automatically what you're going to get, right? The same, because that's the way the flesh operates. Amen. So that's not what it's about. And then in verse 7, when Paul said, don't be partakers with them, as the King James reads here, actually, that should be partakers of them. We have the word there, the aphton, of them. We have the genitive there. Do not be partakers of them. That's how it really should read. Amen. of what they are. This is what it is saying. Do not be partakers of what they are. Amen. And you notice when he says they and them versus we and us. Amen. He's speaking of those who are the non-elect, those who were never his, those who were not chosen by him. And there's a big difference, but the only difference is the choice.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That he loved us from the beginning and chose us and called us. And we're no better than them in our own, but of course, amen, the fact that we have the Spirit of God. We have the nature of God. Amen. Now, in time, in the flesh, you won't be able to tell the difference in most instances. And of course, for testimony's sake, the Holy Spirit causes us, amen, at times to reflect who we are in Christ. And other times, the Holy Spirit, he lets the flesh, for the sake of testimony, that in the end, you won't be able to say that you did it.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. So that we'll see what we are and what we're not. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the essence is who we are in Christ.
Right.
And then when he says in verse 8 that you were sometimes in darkness, amen, but now light in the Lord, and the walk of who you are. And you see, he has Greek now, they're neen, not now, ever, they're neen, now, who you are in Christ now, right now. That's who you identify with. Amen. Walk, identify with who you are in Christ. Amen. Because we do have the capability of identifying, amen, with the flesh, which acts just like those who are not his.
Right.
You all hear me this morning. And so in verse 9, Elder, read that. I had to go back and kind of contextualize. That's what I was doing then. And historically, I was placing, amen, the placement of who you are in eternity from, amen, in the body of Christ, from who you are in manifestation in time.
All right.
Amen. All right? Verse 9.
Ephesians chapter
verse 9. Say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the 9th verse. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Now see that. Let's go to the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, the Interlinear Greek translation. For the fruit of the light in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
See, they tried to transpose that from over as to basically what it is saying in Galatians. You see, the Greek word there is, the Greek word is what? For spirit is pneumatos. Right. And that word there is photos. Photos is what? Light. The other thing is, I take exception with them putting that in parentheses. When you put something in parentheses in a context, it means that you could either leave it out, put it in, or leave it out. You put it in as an additive for complementing the conveyance, but if you left it out, nothing would be lost. If you leave this verse out, everything is lost. The other thing is, when you look into this verse here, you don't see any verbs. You see where he got that ills in parentheses there? You see? Now that he definitely leave that out. Because that's not what he's saying. Oh, but go back now slowly and read that. And that which is bracketed there, just skip it. Everybody with the say amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
verse 9.
For the fruit of the light in all goodness,
right.
And righteousness,
and truth. Now, they felt compelled. Follow me here. They said, Pastor, this looks like a Bible study, so forth and so on. Amen. Then that's what we're going to have this morning, because I surely want you to understand this, because when we start reading from our document, you're going to have to bring this aggression in. You have to separate time and what's happening in time, or what's manifested in time, from the actualized sphere of eternality.
Right.
What is actually existing exists in eternity in God's decree. And this is what Paul, listen to me, this is what Paul is saying here. He spoke a lot of things that are manifested in time that we can be assessed as darkness. And here he's speaking about the light of eternality. Everybody said the light of eternality. Follow here now. Basically, It reads, For the fruit of the light. Here we have the genitive case. The photos is in the genitive case. Amen. Basically, genitive case means that which does what? Possession. Possesses. That which it belongs. Here, when we have the word kapos. Amen. Follow me here. Word kapos here, it is a noun. It is in the nominative case. It is in is masculine and is singular, not fruit. It's fruits. He said fruit in the land. Follow here. I want you to just listen closely this morning, even if I have to stand and just talk. Oh my God, just hang with me as to where we're going this morning with this. Amen. We in the English language, when we use the word fruit, it can be there. We don't say fruits, do we?
No.
So we're speaking in the plural, but here this is singular. This is singular. Follow here now. The fruit, when he speaks of the fruit here, the essence of it, and further explication of it meaning here, it is the result. It is the deed. It is the action. It is the actual large essence. Amen. It is the advantage. Amen. And the light dwells in eternality. Oh my God. And so, basically, we have the expression in posse, in all. And you notice that posse does not have the definite article there. Mm-hmm. Amen. So all here means what?
All.
Amen. In all. So all of the goodness, first of all, the light itself is in eternality, and in light, in the locale is goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen. The essence of it is in eternity. And so we can have some manifestations or reflections in time. Amen. The essence of it is these things are actualized and reside in eternity. Many things are manifested in time. And many times the mirror there, it does reflect, and we can see, amen, the display of that which is reflecting goodness, love, mercy, kindness. So, but these things are the exception in time, not the rule. These are the exception in time, not the rule. And so we have to see and understand the purpose of time. Amen. And it does not infringe the sorrow in time, does not infringe on the joy in eternity. Oh my God. The unrighteousness in time does not infringe on the righteousness in eternity. It is no threat to it. Oh my God. Now, oh my God. One of these days you all let me preach about people. I must be trying to rush through this. Look at those looks. Galatians. I know how far I can go, so you know. Y'all think I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Everybody turn to it right quick. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Oh. Thank God.
In Galatians chapter 5, Many of us, you know, we have little seminars and we have little panel discussions. Uh-huh. And everybody run there and grab that. The works of the flesh, da 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 da.
Uh-huh.
The fruit of the spirit is so and so.
Right.
Do you know what Paul is actually referring to here? And this is why you got to exegete and here just contextualizing this gives you an interest in understanding what Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 is actually stating. When you contextualize the beginning of that chapter, Paul says to basically, you're freed. And you are to stand firm in that freedom. You're not under condemnation. Amen. You're not under condemnation. And don't be entangled with the yoke or the burden of condemnation. Amen. No, that doesn't mean you just float out there and do every kind of thing. No. That's like I said, you don't need that to do that. So if you entangle to the law, Christ be circumcised, then basically that's not going to profit you nothing. Amen. And so he goes on down through there as he takes that and speaks about those in the spirit that wait patiently, expects the hope of the righteousness that belongs to faith. You see? Basically, you know? Because circumcision doesn't mean anything, and Paul had to go through the whole gamut here. And those who had begun in grace and now they were trying to operate in law. Amen. And then the worst thing you could do is to try to mix the two. No, you need the grace of law. I would almost rather for you to just go on and be a law person. You're going to try to mix grace and law. That is the most confusing thing. You know that? Huh? That's confusing. Just a little leaven, as the King James said there, it just spoils and messes up the whole thing. Amen. And so you don't know what you are. You started mixing them. You know, either one or the other. Because the law and grace cancels out each other, don't they? Huh? You know, if you're in the law, you're not in grace. If you're in grace, you're not in law. Amen. And so he said, I don't preach circumcision, Paul. If you ever see anything that looks legalistic or somebody in our contract that looks legalistic, you go back and you look at that thing again. Paul didn't say it. You know? And there are many things in there, amen, that and basically, you know, he said, you've been called into liberty, your freedom. And now, so now don't use it as an occasion to the flesh, though. But don't, you know, we're going to take all this glorious information just so we can go out and float freely in the flesh. You know, just go and do that anyway. Don't take this to do it. Amen. No, that's not what he's saying. But basically, he was saying the way we act and so forth and so on, that's not a good testimony. That's what he's saying, you know. In verse 16, so he said, then walk in the spirit and then you're not in the flesh. In other words, identifying in the spirit. That's what this information is about. Identifying with who you are in Christ, amen, not who you are in the flesh. The real you, amen, is the essence of who you are, some position in the body of Christ. The in time, in the flesh, for testimony's sake, to the end that it is documented that you are in Christ, amen, in spite of the fact of what you were in the flesh. You got one decree there. That's what messes us up. And there's no sequencing in time. There's no yesterday, today, in eternity. In time, yes, absolutely, everything is sequence. Amen. In eternity, there is no yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no past, present, and future. Everything is the eternal now. Everybody said eternal now. turn it now. Everything is, it is now. Amen. And so he said that the flesh is warring against the spirit, and they're contrary to one another. Amen. Now, and if you are under the spirit, then you're not under the law. And so what he's trying to do with verse 19, and this is what most of us would say, he talks about what is manifested in the flesh. It's all about flesh. And he talks about, as we've said, the litany of things that we looked at in Ephesians, again, adultery, fornication, etc., so forth and so on. He said a whole lot of things there, you know, but when he got through, who's left? You might not do one, but you may do it other. What the law say? If you do one, you're guilty of them all. Amen. See? So, but basically, this is not what he's saying. And he said, I told you before that those that identify in such, they are not inheritors of kingdom. He's talking about these various manifestations of unrighteous traits are not what's in the essence, in the heavenlies, in Christ. That's what he's saying. Not what you do or what you don't do. Follow me here. And so that's what verse 21 is basically conveying to us. Amen. Because remember now, he's talking about envying in that same verse. Huh? Oh my God, huh?
Yeah.
And if envying, amen, eliminated was one part of elimination, amen, and you all know, you say, well, I don't have any envy to my degree. Don't you do that. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you notice, he puts it in the same category as the birds. Huh? You know, he's got it all lumped in there together, not really distinguishing one from another. Amen. And so he said, these are the things that are associated in the time capsule and testimony of what is the opposite of who you are in the body of Christ. Remember, in the body of Christ, in the heavens, in Christ Jesus, you have been given the nature of God. Oh my God, hallelujah. And none of these things are associated with who you are in the body of Christ. And the essence is to identify with it.
Thank God.
Now first, that's what's not part of being inheritors of the kingdom of God. It's not, I didn't say, if you practice it, now if you do it, you're just splitting hairs. No, that's not what he's saying. These things that are associated with the flesh, with depravity, these are not the things that is associated defines or conveys who you are in the body of Christ. Remember, there will be no incorruption. There is no incorruption manifested in the heavenlies in Christ. There is no unrighteousness, rather, in the heavenlies in Christ. And so these are things are not inherited of the heritage of that which abides in the body of Christ. That's all he's saying. Amen. If any of us had to get by all of this unscathed, nobody would make it. That's not what this is saying. Amen. And so what you have to do is to separate who you are in these bodies from who you are in Christ. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Now we're ready to go to verse 22. Read.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22.
Uh-huh.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23?
No, we don't have to. That's for the second time. Oh, my goodness. He goes on and he talks about meekness, and you can keep reading temperance and all that, and say there's no law against anything. Amen. And then in verse 24, he said, now, if these are the things that are associated with who you are in the body of Christ, and on down in verse 24, and those who associated, and these associations are that which speaks to the end that in the body of Christ you have crucified, you have crucified the flesh and the affections of lust. Amen. He's speaking of the body having been destroyed. As long as you're in these bodies, amen, don't tell me that someday somebody get up and do something to you and you don't have the tendency to retaliate. Yes, you do. So that's not what this is saying. And this is why some people don't take the word of God seriously. But actually, it is seriously saying what the actual conveyance is. It's just that we misappropriate what it's saying. We misappropriate what it is saying.
Oh, glory. Yes.
And here, what he is doing is he is showing the distinctions between who you are in the body of Christ in eternality from the essence, a manifestation of who you are in the flesh. And he's making an appeal for you to identify with who you are in the body of Christ. Our problem is we get the old man mixed up with the new man. You know, we think that the new man is the old man reformed. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Look at my hand. My hand was due. Looked at my feet and they were to you. I tell you, that song has done a lot of damage. Flesh is flesh. Everybody, spank your hand. Spank it. Spank it. Spank it hard. Spank it till it hurts. Now I said, this is flesh. And this is not who I really am.
This is not who I really am.
Who you really are is who you are in the body of Christ. And so he speaks here again. And in this time, it does read, ophe kapos to pneumatos, which is, and you notice here that Greek conjunction the is a superordinate conjunction. That means it controls. That means everything that he said above now, amen, has to be in deference to what he's conveying in that 22nd verse. And so, even though you don't have the strong adversative conjunction, Allah, you do have the superordinate conjunction. Superordinate. Conjunction. And so, we can say a strong and, a but. So he speaks here of the fruit of the result of the deed of the action of the advantage of the Spirit. Now you know he's not talking about in time now. He's talking about, oh my goodness, he's talking about the essence of where eternally all of these glorious traits abide. Follow here. Fruit of the Spirit is esteem. That is an indicative present.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Is love. Joy. Peace.
Yes.
Long suffering. And you know, when you look at this word, makrothymia, long suffering, you might think that's an adjective. But that's a noun. That's all just like peace, joy is a noun. That's a noun. What is a noun? The name of a person, place, or thing. What is an adjective? It describes. So here he's not describing. He's, you know, so you can say long suffering or having patience. Basically, these are kindness. Oh my God, goodness, faith, pistis could be faith or faithfulness. But the essence of these of it is that these things reside in eternality.
Yes.
That is the residency of it.
Yes.
Amen. This is where such is actualized. Do you all know there's not going to be no foolishness? There's no foolishness in the body of Christ.
Oh, that's right.
Huh? You know, that's why, you know, I get in trouble time. I'm saying to you, you know, I'm hey, How could be no kinfolk up there? There's no kin. There's no nepotism in the body of Christ. You didn't walk in the body of Christ and say, where is my mother? He said, who? Jesus said, who? Who is? Huh? Where are my children? Can you imagine what a mess that would be? No. These are earthly assignments that will not be in the body of Christ. Now, in manifestation, listen. You will love your loved one more than you can imagine.
More. Mm-hmm.
You will love your loved one not based upon human affection. We have the nature of God. We will love each other in the body of Christ, manifestly, as much as we love him. Now, if he has given us the love, amen, of God, the nature of God, rather,
right.
Amen,
right.
That means it is, it entails the essence of fully and truly, unconditionally, amen, loving one another based upon how much we love Christ.
Yeah.
And you think you love in these bodies. You say, I love the Lord. Amen. Oh, my God. Give us the nature of God. And now you really, 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 really love the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Most of us are so messed up down here in time. And then we can't see past that. Amen. That's not what this is about. He's saying, well, all of this abides. So here he's speaking of what the residency of these glorious traits of righteousness and love, where they abide. My God, you think you know joy now. In the essence of Christ, amen, it's no comparison to what you think you feel now versus manifestly what you shall feel then.
Oh, yeah. Hmm?
Oh my God. Hmm? Now,
yes.
Let's go to our document. Now, we're going to take these aggressions in. So when I start reading here, amen, remember now, amen, there's a difference between time and we have to see time as it is, amen. It's just a manifestation mechanism. All right? At the bottom of 46, is God regulated in time? Everybody repeat after me. Is God regulated in time?
Is God regulated in time?
Or does his essence usurp beyond it? Now, some contemporary theologians question, if not outright reject, the idea that God is timeless or atemporal. That is, that he is independent of, unaffected by time. They argue that divine atemporality, number one, they say it contradicts his personhood. That's because they're hooked in the physicality. Number two, they say it denies him the power to love. Again, that's because they're using the human mental pole to assess what love is in time, contrary to what we have just read, that such resides in eternality. Number two, it says, this is the craziest of all, they say it eliminates his freedom. Oh my God.
Hello.
Do not use time and time loops, and this is what we're writing on now in our excerpts. We've given you the excerpts out of the writing, amen, the insufficiencies in the temporary time loop, in my inadequacies. You cannot base everything and structure things in time. And then number four, they say, this is where I really, really would go to war with them. They say it contradicts the scriptures. No, it doesn't. When you write the divide the scripture,
right.
Amen, it testifies or certifies eternality as differentiated from time.
Right.
Now, Then lastly, they say it is incoherent. Yeah, if you stand in the time capsule, you're not, none of this is coherent to you. This is crazy. This is ridiculous. Because you stand around trying to look in the stuff to figure it out. Versus in eternality, in the eternal, heavenly, vertical vantage point, looking down on the stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
No. So that's the difference.
Right.
Now follow this. The idea that the eternal God cannot be personal outside the capsule of time is based on the anthropomorphic, a human view of what comprises his essence. Their version is that because human persons exist in time, it follows that for God to be personal, he must of necessity exist in time. Isn't that crazy? Scripturally speaking, all of creation, which encompasses all creatures, in fact, actually exists and reside in God's decree. In where? Eternity. Another criticism of God's timelessness is that it supposedly denies him the power to love. Here's where all the confusion comes in. This view is often espoused by process theologians. And you know, they want to kill the process theologian.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what is the predecessor of what is the catalyst for process theological doctrine? Synergism. If you say that God needs help, that means that he can't do it all.
Right.
Or he doesn't have it all under control.
Right.
Doesn't that follow?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why are we helping God if he doesn't need help? So if we're helping him, that means he must need help, huh?
Yeah.
Right? That's what the process theology aver.
Uh-huh.
They claim that God didn't have everything under control.
Yes,
yes. Or they say, oh, he'll get it under control.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have it under control right now.
Oh,
that's what they aver, mm-hmm. You know. That's what they're saying. But it starts off with we put our 2 cents in to help God with his 8 cents to get 10 cents.
Right. Right.
Or we put our 1 cent in to help God with the 9 to get the 10, get the complete thing. No. No, that's not. You see, this is why you got to understand that as creatures in time, all we are, amen, are participators in testimony. Everything concerning us is actualized in God's decree. Your tomorrow has already passed. It just hasn't been manifested to you yet. Y'all don't hear me. And there's no tomorrow in eternality. Tomorrow is now in eternality. There's no past, no present, no future, no yesterday, no today, no tomorrow. No history, no future. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Everybody said eternal now. Time is it's a creation. In Hebrews, through a saying, he did what? He created the ages. Now, but this view is often espoused by process theologians who hold that God himself is evolving and growing over time. Informed scripture comprehension of God as timeless and changeless denotes that he is not governed by anything that is manifested in the capsule of time in which by anything that is manifest in time, in which such are all segmented revelations of his creation. In spite of this, it is so argued that if God really loves us, and how many times we've heard this, he will be affected by our suffering joys, prayers, etc. You know, God did this because I cried out, and he heard my cry, and he had compassion on me. I know that this is upsetting the apple cart of a lot of things we've been taught. Got God down here in time, and he's going through each moment just like we the ups and downs. And, and you see, what they do is they run to the, those kingdom, well, Old Testament, and also the kingdom gospel, amen, of Jesus manifestly on earth, and they misconstrue that. Amen. Not understanding. You got to separate eternality from time. If that thing, quote, worked out for you, is because that's what God from the beginning did what? Decreed. Not because God was going to do one thing, or maybe God was undecided, and then your input into it basically helped him to make up his mind what he's going to do based upon whether he was pleased with you or not. No, you don't. No, you don't. We want to drag God down in the same little slot where we are, basically. Yeah. And that's what messes us up, because sometimes the thing comes out like you petitioned, and sometimes it comes out the opposite. Now you all messed up.
Right.
What did I do that time that I didn't do this time? It's not about time.
That's it.
Not about time.
Amen.
It's about God's decree. Mm-hmm. Now, and so, it is incomprehensible that these expressions or manifestations do not fully document the actualization of true love. Follow this. And so the argument continues. For God to be affected by things in time, such as suffering, joys, prayers, etc., he must of necessity be capable of change, and therefore he cannot be timeless. Are you out of your mind? If there's one thing that we can assess to eternality, and there are many, it is immutability. No changing. You see, change comes with succession. Change comes with sequencing. In eternality, what is, and can't be changed because it is. This is why it's so important for us to separate. Now, one of the major problems with this argument is that it construes the finiteness of human love as a magic dimension of divine love. No, you don't. We have to quit using ourselves as the mental pole. Using ourselves as the datum, a datum.
Yes.
Using ourselves as the standard.
Right. Right.
Using ourselves as the problem line. Using ourselves as the gauge. Even our Old Testament. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God is the standard. Merely because human beings may manifestly be affected by the depiction of sufferings and joys and are portrayed as able to love others does not relegate God's love to the arena of the affections of changeableness in time. You know, I love you until you cross me, and then, you know. God didn't operate that way. He loves you forever.
That's right.
Hmm? Now, the capsule of time, give me about 5 minutes. I'm going to just bail out this morning. Oh, boy. Capsule of time is designed to express manifestations. Listen of the experiences of suffering, joys, and prayers, of petitions, and succession. Is that allowed? We just read these things permanently abide. In time, these are transient expressions, are transient reflections in the mirror. Some of them aligning and some of it clashing. Consequently, those that are subject to and are governed by and in the capsule of time must be affected or changed by the manifestations therein. That's you and me. In testimony of revealing God's purpose for creating such. You went through this, that, and the other because that was your course in testimony. And you were not delivered, not because God doesn't love you, but you see, we've got to look beyond time. God, help us to look beyond. I know he said, Pastor, and they're not preaching this. No, they're not going to preach this. Amen. Because they feel it, that you can't resonate with it.
Right.
Lord, I pray this morning that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. That you will comprehend and know the glorious, your glorious calling and what your inheritance is. We are in Christ, sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yes. Holly, so what happens down here? God, on the other hand, because he is avowed of sequences and sequential operants from his eternal vantage point, he comprehends all things all at once. Everybody said the eternal noun. You stuck in today. And the fact that you just lost your job and you can't see any further than that.
Yeah.
That you just lost, amen, some of your money in the stock market. And you can't see any further than that.
Yeah.
That they cut your pension off. And you can't see any further than that. These are operas in time that have no meaning of regulating God's eternal purpose and will and pleasure. Oh my God.
Oh, glory to God. Thank God.
Oh, hallelujah. You all better hear me this morning. You better hear me this morning. Oh my God. Accordingly, and I'm going to stop here. His love comprehends all at once. Everybody saw all at once. I lost my money. And that's what they teach, you know. You must have done something wrong. That's what they did to Job. It wasn't about that. Amen. The essence is the all at once. The all at once view. The all at once view. The eternal view. Oh my God, the eternal essence of what God has done for you and who you are in time. If I lose my home, lose my job. And Paul even, amen, gave the testimony. If I even lose my life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to hear me this morning.
Thank God. Yes.
Accordingly, his love comprehends all at once. And he does not need to pass from one state of awareness regarding sequence situations to another. Listen, they are announcing that General Motors will possibly file bankruptcy, chapter 11, tomorrow. And even if it was a 7. Man, you know, it's a pastor, man. You're scandalous. Don't talk like this. No. Listen. Do not take solace in the things around you.
Right.
No matter how solid that thing looks.
Yeah.
In your job, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Institution falls.
Yeah.
Banks fail.
Yeah.
Governments crumble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Huh? The essence of even the stability of the earth in global warming and pestilences. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And diseases and all of these things that are coming, amen, and some things that are coming down the pike, if you're not anchored in Christ, they'll sweep you away. Oh, I say, this morning, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Oh, can you say, oh? Can you say, oh? Oh, the ground is shaking, say. In the time capsule, this is just a story. Everybody said this is just a story. This is now. I don't mean this a falsehood. Now, this is just testimony. Let's say it that way. Whatever is happening, say this is just testimony. Sickness. You go to the doctor and get a bad report. It's just testimony, We worry about our jobs, our homes, our families. We worry about our future. Amen. Oh, my God. Future only is relevant in time. Future has no relevance in eternity. Why are you worried about the future when you have the now? And now are you in Christ? And now, oh my God, hallelujah. These are the things that we should live on, stand on. Oh my God. And above all things, we should rejoice in them. Give him a praise this morning. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.